Blog Talk Radio.
Grateful and so thankful that
you have decided to join us for another wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. It is I, your host, Willie J. Van Jr. I bring you greetings from the nation's capital of Washington, D.C., the Northeast Corridor, to be specific. And I am so grateful and so thankful that you have decided to join us. This is Reconciliation Ministries, partnering with Omega Ministry Group. And we are so thankful for being a part of the Omega Ministry Group and its leaders, Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and Tammy Storr, Sister Tammy Storr. We are, again, thank God for each one of you all that have decided to join us here for this sharing. We thank God for each one of you that's listening live and those who are listening to the rebroadcast. Well, as always, we understand the importance of prayer. We understand how important prayer is and how God will make a way out of no way. And God is speaking to us through prayer and how we speak to him. So without further ado, let us go to the throne of grace and mercy with authority that he has given us. We thank you, Lord God. We first thank you, Lord God, before we even ask of anything. We have an attitude of gratitude. We just want to say thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for allowing us to have the authority and anointing to be in relations with you. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to have this relationship where you loved us so much that you allowed your only begotten son, your only son, to be the redeemer and the restorer of our lives, our faith, our soul, and our spirit. We pray, Lord God, that because of what Jesus has done, that we now have relationship with you, and we are now receiving the power and authority from the Holy Ghost. We thank God for allowing your Holy Spirit not just to dwell around us, but to dwell in us. We thank you, Lord God, for how you make a way out of no way. We are so appreciative, and Lord God, we just say thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for just the many blessings that you have given us, the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord God, without further ado, we ask that that what we have studied tonight, what we prepare, that it will be a blessing, that it will be beneficial, that it will help those who are listening. We pray, Lord God, that we understand that you are the source of our strength, that we are here because of your power and your anointing. Lord God, we thank you. We ask that you even bless those who are mourning, praying for my brother Hakeem Thompson, praying for all those who might be sick and shut in, praying for those who might be dealing with issues going over in Haiti at the moment. We pray that you will bless them. Lord God, even bless those who might be dealing with this this hurricane that's coming up the East Coast. We give you honor. We give you praise. We acknowledge you as the head of our lives. And Lord God, we ask all these things because we trust in you. And we know that you have enough anointing and enough power to handle it all. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior, his name is Jesus the Christ. We say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my brothers and my sisters, we are, again, so grateful and so thankful. We ask that you, those who are listening live, as always, we want you to participate you can press 1 at the end. You can press 1 and your number will highlight. It will identify to me that you would like to make a comment. For those who might be listening to the rebroadcast, you can always send me questions or comments to my email at jayvan91@yahoo.com. Again, J-A-Y, V as in victory, A-N-N, 91@yahoo.com. And I definitely will respond. We thank God for each and every one of you all. Well, tonight's word deals with a very poignant and very necessary topic, and that's witness. Witness. I don't know if you've ever dealt with or if you've ever seen the local news, and usually the local news or either the national news, and they are the, and then they will interview somebody. They say, we have an eyewitness to the event. Now, what's interesting and what's funny is that most of the time, these eyewitnesses will always, well, not always, but most of the time, they will start giving their shout-outs. They'll start shouting out, they'll start shouting out and saying, shout-out to my mom, shout-out to my dad, to my brothers and sisters, and they start shouting out their friends. And what's interesting is that they'll do all these shouts out, but then they won't acknowledge or they won't talk about what they were supposed to be eyewitnessing. And they make it seem like, them being on TV is all about them. But an interesting concept about that is that when we look at what a witness is, we can identify the word witness as a person that will validate validate an event. It is a person who sees or hears something firsthand. And when we think about the fact of being of witnessing, and we think about the fact that as a witness for God, that we are to be his witnesses. And I already hear you asking the question, well, what do you mean? Well, to Acts chapter 1. Starting, and we'll read Acts chapter 1, and we'll read just verse 8. Acts chapter 1 says, and this is the word that Jesus speaks. He's speaking to the multitude and to his disciples, and he says, but when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will receive power. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and in every part of the world. So here Jesus is telling his disciples that they will be witnesses. They will be able to validate, and they will be able to say firsthand who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Now, we understand that we cannot give firsthand of who Jesus is because, of course, Jesus is not walking the earth. But we do know a man, and his name is John, John the Baptist, and he is the first cousin to Jesus. Matter of fact, because he knows that he is to be a witness, even while he is in his mother's womb, and his mother has a meeting up with Mary, that he starts kind of jumping for joy. But there's a scripture that, and this is our foundational scripture for tonight. It is found in John chapter 1. And let's start at verse 1. Might be a little bit more than we want to read, but we can read this. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1, and we'll be reading probably up until 9. It says, and this is the NIV, this wrong translation. Let me get the right translation. This is the NIV translation. Again, John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And this is where the bulk of our discussion will be coming from. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And we can stop right there. So we've just read in the bulk of our scripture in John about how John was a witness, or how he is going to be the witness and the testifier of who Jesus is, of this light. Now, again, we understand that the word witness is one who brings validation to an event or a situation, or one who knows or who has seen or who has heard firsthand about an event or a situation or a person. So God created John so that John could go out into the world and really tell the world that there is one that is coming. And the example is that Jesus is going to be this light. Now, I don't know about where you are and if you dealt with this before, but if you deal with the fact that if your power goes out, that there is in your house, you ought to have flashlight. And I don't know about you, but here at my house, when the power goes out, the power grid will go out. Everything is dark. It's mighty funny because it almost reminds me of the country. When everything goes dark in a country, the only thing that is really light lit is the moon. And that's how you get to sort of see. Unless if you have a candle or a flashlight. And what I realized is that when I have my flashlight, that I'm able to go and move about my house and go about and move about the neighborhood without fear and without trouble. Man, there are times where because of, like I said, the grid is out, then my neighbors and I will all gather our flashlights and we'll go out into our porches and make sure that those who are elderly in the neighborhood, that they're taken care of and that they're okay. And we leave candles or make sure that they're good. But it's funny how when I bring my light and my neighbor bring their light and then another bring their light, then how everything seems to be much brighter. So that sort of kind of goes and talks about the fact that the purpose or one of the purposes that Jesus has is that he is bringing light to a dark situation, to this dark world. And by bringing light, he brings what we call illumination. Now, illumination is another fancy word for clarity or being able to really see and being able to navigate, because you're able to see. You mean that whatever was dark is now lit, and so when you allow Jesus into your life, when I will tell you, I thought my life was pretty good. I thought, being a bouncer, I thought, getting a good government job, I thought my life was doing all right. But it wasn't until I decided to allow Jesus to become my Lord and my Savior. And that's when I realized that how dark my life was, how I was yearning and searching for things. And how I was yearning, searching for things like a person going through my house without knowing the layout of my house and without it being lit. I've heard this, they say, wandering around the dark like a bumbling fool. Well, if you've ever been in a environment or a room and you weren't sure and you didn't have a light, normally you might stub your toe because you done hit something with your big toe or on your foot, or you run into stuff. Well, that's how our lives are without Jesus. We just run into different things. We run into not necessarily always something evil and bad, like drugs or alcoholism or people, but we just run into situations where we realize that we are not doing the will of God. One of the things that we ought to always search for and allow God to do is to be the light, the guiding light in our lives. That God, without God in our lives, then we don't know where we're going to go. And as John lived his life was all about going to tell everybody about this light. This light that we call Jesus. Now, I know, I hear you talking. How is it that we can call Jesus the light, or how can he go about and testify about something that hasn't come? But what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and discuss that a little bit longer, talking about how John said that I'm coming to tell you about this light. I'm not the light, but I'm coming to tell you about this light. Why don't you listen to this song, great song by Earth, Wind, and Fire, called Guiding Lights. Listen to the words, and you'll see it's a little bit more inspirational than you think. Go get yourself some water, something to drink, and we'll be right back.
Your hand there, you'll understand. When
Amen. That's right, my brothers and sisters. You ought to allow the guiding light, the light of Jesus Christ, guide your life. Now, we was asking the question about how can John, how can he go and be a witness about this light? And the advantage he had is that, one, he lived during that biblical time. But it's very similar to the way that we ought to be a witness for God or be a witness of Jesus. There are situations, there are things that happen in your life, and you realize, and you got to know that it's definitely God that did this. Now, I know you're educated. I know you're very intelligent. I know you make a rack of money, and I know that your influences have got you into some places and situations, but then there's just some things that only God has done for you. And even out of all those things that I just named, they still come from God because they were a gift from God to you. So when you think about it, the way that John was a witness is how we ought to live our lives and be a witness for Jesus, to share what God has done for us. Now, I used to have a crush on Janet Jackson. I'm not too ashamed to admit it. But I used to like this song that she used to sing. And she said, "What have you done for me lately?" And I thought about that because that's sort of the attitude we ought to have when we think about our relationship to God, not in a boastful or negative way that God owes us anything, but because of our relationship to who he is, because we are children of God, we ought to wake up every morning and say, "God, what is it that you're going to bless me? How is it that you're going to use my life to be a blessing? How is it that, what kind of miracle are you going to show me today? What is it that you're going to do that I can be a eyewitness of who you are, that you are alive and doing well?" See, it's one thing, and it's okay that God has blessed you and delivered you, and he's given you life. Those are all wonderful and great things. And I know that he blessed you, you know, 5, 10, 20 years ago. But what has God done for you today? I mean, think about it. Let's really think about it. Even from your point, just from this morning, when you open up your eyes, what did God do for you? What kind of miracle was performed today for you? Or what situation, what event happened that you can know, that you can say firsthand that you know it was the will of God? I mean, we ought to always go throughout life with that type of attitude, with that type of understanding, knowing that God has done wonderful things for us, and he has brought illumination to our lives. See, there's that light again. When you start living a life knowing that God will get the glory, we wake up every morning, Monday through Friday, on a men's prayer line. And during this men's prayer line, we share we share what God has done for us maybe the previous day. Now, we're not boasting about who we are. We're not boasting about our position. And we're not boasting thinking that we are better than anybody else because God might have blessed us. But we boast about the fact that God has done something in our lives that we can share and tell the world that God is alive and doing well. We call them praise reports. So my question to you, what is your praise report? What is your last praise report? I mean, what was the last thing that you could testify right now and you know it was nobody but God who did it? It might have been something materialistic. It could have been that somebody sent you some money and you weren't even looking for it. It could have been that that you had a bill that they just decided that they were not, that you didn't have to pay it right today. But by the time you get paid, you'll be able to have the money in your account to pay it. It might be the fact that you weren't feeling well and your sinuses had been bothering you. But when you woke up this morning, you was able to take a deep breath and exhale. It might have been even a situation where somebody was sick. And because you prayed, and because others pray that that person is doing better, they might not be completely out of whatever they're going through, but they're definitely feeling better and they're definitely doing better. See, that's the type of witness that we, or witnesses that we ought to be for God. Now, we don't have to see Jesus firsthand, but that doesn't mean that we don't see the work of Jesus firsthand, that we don't hear the work of Jesus firsthand. And so that's how we ought to be. We ought to live a life and be witnesses for God, where we can tell the world, you know what God has done for me? I know this firsthand. This ain't no hearsay. I know God did this for me. I know God did this for my family members. And we, when we do that, then we realize that we don't have to beat anybody up over the head with biblical scriptures or some deep theological idea. But that we just live a life where our lives are the evidence that God is alive. See, we have to first believe in Jesus, and then we have to accept him. And Jesus is always sharing with us and always blessing us so that we can be witnesses for him. Again, we're not boasting or bragging about what we've done. But when somebody come up to you and say, how have you been able to survive this pandemic? How have you not gotten sick. You can act like it was the vaccination. You can act like it was the mask. You can act like it was the hand sanitizer. But if you really want to dig, Will, to dig and identify the truth, you will tell them, God did it. God blessed me. God protected me. Even God healed me. We got to believe that just because we go through a fiery furnace, that God has forsaken us. God can bless you just like he did the three Hebrew boys in the midst of the fire. And then you can come out, and because of your life, people can look at you and say, oh, that's a child of God. That's a woman or a man of God. And then you can go on and share with them, you know what? God did this. And the wonderful thing about what he did for me is that he can do it for you. Just as it is written in Romans, that there is nothing that shall separate us from the love of God. Then it goes on, and Paul goes on to give this whole list. We ought to be able to go and live a life and say, there's nothing that shall separate me from the love of God. And then we can give our long list of what God has done for us, how God has blessed us, how God has kept us, how God is sustaining us, how God is blessing and keeping and healing. And not just us, but people around us. I have a coworker who is suffering from bipolarism, and she was taking medicine for a long time, and she still is, has decided not to take her medicine, and unfortunately things are not going too well for her. But it is my responsibility to share with her that despite whatever you're going through, God is still able. And I pray that when I share this message, that she will understand and she will be encouraged. Just like I have my brothers who I call and I talk to on the prayer line, or what I call the lifestyle line. We encourage one another. We share praise reports with one another. And what we always share is that what God has done for me, he can also do for you. So I challenge you, my brothers and my sisters, to go out and be a witness for God. Now, I know that you think that there are so many other things you can do, or that you have to have some title of evangelist or minister or pastor or preacher or bishop or something. But we read in Acts, and let's read Acts one more time, because sometimes when we read, we don't want to deal with God's word as he really said. In Acts, okay, here we go. Come on now. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Again, this is the because of what Jesus is saying. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit has already come to give you power and already have given you power. Now it's your responsibility to go out into the world and tell the world who God is, who Jesus is. And again, it ain't even about going out and beating nobody up, but it's about living a life that people can see and say, wow, there's something different about this person. And you can easily say, yeah, it is something different. I'm a witness for God, and I'm sharing what he wants me to share. But most of all, I'm living the life that he wants me to live. Will you do that? Let's pray. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be a witness, to be your witness. May we always share and bring validity to what you've done in our lives and in the lives of others, that we can live a life where people can say that person must be a follower of God. They must have a relationship with God. And we can boldly proclaim, yes, we do. But you can also have it, because what God has done for me, he can do for you. We thank you, Lord God. Allow us to be bold witnesses wherever we go, because we are yours, so we don't worry about where you send us, because we know that you're not going to send us somewhere where we shouldn't go. We're not concerned about what we're going to say, because we understand that only you're going to put those words in our mouths that we need to share. Lord God, we are yours, so we surrendered it all to you. We thank you. We give you honor. We give you praise. For we love you. We adore you. And we magnify the name of your Son, who is our Savior. His name is Jesus the Christ. We say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are so grateful again for the many blessings that you, that God has given us. I want to share and tell you that every Monday night you can tune in to the same line and you can hear the ministry, Marriage Ministry or Oneness Ministry of Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife Tammy Storr. That's from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock every Monday night. And then from 9 to 10, Minister Leah Killing. Mighty Woman of God. Then it's yours truly every Wednesday night, Willie J. Van Jr., from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And then from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, we have my younger brother in the ministry, Elder Jason Felix, Mighty Man of God out of the Detroit area. Then on Thursday night, we have Bishop George Flint from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And then on Sunday nights, we have Minister Amos Joseph Collins from 6 to 7. So at any of those times, God will bless you and give you a word to share. I have a couple minutes. If there's anyone who would like to share, you can press 1 now, and we can open up your mic. All right. Well, since we don't have anyone that's wanting to share, I'm going to play this song. I pray many blessings upon you. I pray that God will continue to bless you and shine his light on you. May you keep being a witness for God. You can tune back in at 9 o'clock again for Elder Jason Felix, Mighty Man of God. As always, peace and love, Willie J. Rand Jr.
Don't know how, but you did it. Made a way. Standing here. Not knowing how we'll get through this test. But holding on to faith you know best. Nothing can catch you by surprise. You got this.
I'm sorry. We have somebody that would like to make a comment. Your last four numbers are 5890. We want to always allow somebody to make a comment or question or whatever. Caller, last four numbers are 589.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh. My name is Candace. I just wanted to share what I had went to a graduation this past couple of weeks ago, and it started out great, but then it got very trying. And so my great niece, she was very high strung. She broke a lot of things, and then she was saying she was going to kill herself, and then she walked out of the house. You know, it was a very, you know, bit traumatic. And then my niece, she was all upset. And then her aunt, everybody was all upset. But I was calm. But I had faith in God. And I knew God was going to step in and take care of everything. So I began praying. And then I told my other niece, I said, I'm not worried. I said, I know God is going to bring her home. I said, he's going to keep her safe. And he's going to bring her back home. To her. And she did. She did. She came back home. You know, total chaos, but I was calm. I knew I had faith in God, and I knew that he was going to solve it. So, and I stuck to it, and I think that I did the whole time that I was there, and I continued. But I know, you know, I told my other niece that God is no respecter of persons. I said, what he will do for you, he'll just telling them to, you know, keep the faith. Just have faith and believe.
Well, first of all, Candace, go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, no. No, that was it. That was basically all.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I
appreciate your sharing. Because that's definitely what we need to do. We need to be able to live a life and be a witness and share with others of God's love for us and our faith in him. And when we so live a life and give a word of assurance, then others will start having this peace and this understanding and this trust in God. So I appreciate your sharing. Great woman of God. We'll talk later. I'm going to put you back on mute. But Candace, we are about to end the show. I just want to thank you all for, as always, we thank Sister Candace for sharing that example of how when you trust in God, God will always make a way out of no way. So, as always, peace and love to you all. And we pray many blessings to you all. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.